This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Yes, Father, thank you for this privilege we have to come to you and to humble ourselves before you and to open our hearts and our minds to receive from you, God. And we pray that you will speak to us through your word, not through the words of man, but your words, Lord, that the only thing that will remain after this day will be the words that you have spoken. And Lord, we thank you that as we receive those words in humility and faith, it will accomplish its purpose and it will not return void to you. And we thank you for the life that it will produce. In Jesus' name, amen. May be seated. Before I continue, just a reminder of the BodyServe account. We have an account that we specifically have to help those who are in need within the church. So if you are in need in the church, please come and speak to us. We'd love to help you. But also, we want to encourage all our members that if you want to give to somebody, please do not give to somebody directly. Rather, give it through the BodyServe account. Make a reference to that person's name, and we will make sure that they get 100% of what you want to give them. But let's do it through the church so that there is accountability, but also that there is not a pressure to give, but also not a pressure to return that favor for those who have received. So I want to really encourage you. Thank you for those who are giving over and above their tithes and offerings to into that account. There are so many people that we are helping with that, and we want to thank you for that. And please continue to do so. I want to continue this morning with what we started last term. And by God's grace, it will also come to an end, although the church never does. So I'm not sure. I don't actually plan these things. So here we are. We are continuing with God's blueprint for church. And just putting our own ideas aside and allowing God to speak to us concerning his heart for church. And I think this is already part 6, if I'm not mistaken. But maybe just as a recap, since we had a holiday in between, some of the things that we looked at, God's desire for church, is the first thing that stands out is that church is God's desire. It's God's heart. It's God's idea. It's uniquely New Testament in its creation and its actually fulfillment of God's desire. We see in the end in Revelations when Christ returns for the church. This great moment, the climax of history when Jesus is united with the church. And church is not a human institution, it's a God institution. And in that institution, Jesus is the head. God's desire is that Christ be preeminent in everything. That the reason that we come together as church is not because of a pastor or worship or a denomination, but we come together because of Jesus. For the love of God towards us through his Son. That's why we come together. And that church is the body of Christ. And that's a powerful expression of God's desire for church. This mystery in the unity between Christ and the church. That church is not just an institution, but there's something mysterious in the unity between Christ and the church. And we see where two or three are gathered together, there Christ is in the midst of us. And so church is something powerfully spiritual when believers come together from all different walks and lives, cultural, ethnicity, coming together because of Christ. There God commands a blessing and something powerful happens. So church is not just about coming together on a Sunday, but there's something powerful that takes place when we do. And we see here in Ephesians chapter 5 that God loves the church. He gave his life for the church. That he's constantly working within the church, taking out all the spots and the wrinkles and the blemishes to make her ready and blameless for that day of his coming. And then also we looked at the fact that God's heart for church is family. God revealed himself as our Father. He calls us his children, and each other we call brothers and sisters. And so God's desire for church is also that it should be family. That has its foundation not just on Christ, but God's love for us, which is expressed through Christ. So church is also meant to be family. And then we also looked at the fact that God has made us different. God loves diversity, but his heart is for unity within the church, even though we're all different. And to emphasize that difference, God's love for diversity, he gave all of us different gifts, but he wants us to actually function together in unity. That's God's desire, that we may understand the love that he has for us through church. God doesn't want us to be alone. He wants us to be together. He doesn't want us to be independent. He wants us to be interdependent. And so God's desire of church is clearly seen without and throughout the Word. Ephesians 4 verse 11 to 16 puts it beautifully. It says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into whom he is the head." And here it is, our scripture for today. "From whom the whole body, joined and knit together, but what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." This is a powerful verse that kind of summarizes everything that we have spoken about up to this point. And this part that I feel we are ought to focus on this morning is that last verse, which says it beautifully. It says, when every part of the body does its share, when we all do our share, it does not just cause the edifying of the body, which we experience when we come together in the love and the worship and the fellowship. We edify ourselves through one another. But the Word of God says when every part does its share, it does not only edify the body, it also causes growth to the body. And this is where I want to start off this morning. Another desire God has for church is that it should grow. God's desire for church is that it should grow. Yes, through all of us doing our share, doing our part, we love each other and share with one another and edify one another. But there's another aspect of God's desire for church, and it's called growth. God wants the church to grow. And I'm not just speaking about this church and a particular denomination. I'm speaking about the universal church. God's desire for church is to grow. It's for his kingdom to advance. And church is the vessel through which God has planned and purposed for the kingdom and ultimately the victory to be finalized at that great day when we overcome him by the word of our testimony, the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, the fact that we are willing to lay down our lives for him. That is the final victory where the church also overcomes. So God's desire for church is that we should grow. It's very interesting. Ultimately, the church's purpose is to advance the kingdom of God. That's, if you really want to summarize from an objective perspective, it is to love God, love each other, and advance the kingdom. That's the purpose of the church. Loving God, loving each other, and advancing his purpose, his kingdom in this world. And therefore we read so powerfully the first time in the New Testament that the word church is mentioned. It's based on a revelation of who Christ is. And Jesus said, on that I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's Matthew 16, verse 18. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It is an advancement of the church against darkness and evil, and it will not overcome the church. God's desire for church is not to be defensive, but to be offensive. And even the defenses of hell will not be able to prevail against it. We stand back for a moment and seek God's desire for church is that church would advance, it will grow, and it will overcome. So church is meant to advance. And with that, it is important for us to understand who are in the church, that church is not just for us who believe. Church is also for those outside of the church that are yet to believe. Church is the vehicle through which God will advance His kingdom. In Luke 15, verse 1 to 7, Jesus tells this parable to emphasize the point that church is not just about those who believe. It's not just about the righteous ones, but it's also about those who still need to come to repentance. God's desire for His kingdom is to advance not just in the light, but in the darkness, and that it should grow through the salvation of the lost. And yet, in Luke 15, we read this from verse 1. It says, "Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to Him to hear Him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' And so He spoke this parable, saying, 'What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he had come home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." And here comes the point. I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who needs no repentance. As much as God loves us, when we come together as the righteous ones of God who needs no repentance, there is greater joy in heaven when one person outside of the church comes to repentance. And so we must understand that as we come together, as comfortable as it is and as wonderful as it is, and we hear it so often in small groups, one of the greatest challenges of small groups is when they grow to the point of multiplication. And it is so difficult to multiply. It is so difficult to let go of the environment of love and edification and support and relationship that we have built over the years. But it's now time to multiply so that we can grow again. And so it's important for us to remind ourselves that church is not just about us. Church is about the lost. It's about reaching out to those who are still on the outside. As powerful as it is when we come together as the church, ultimately, church is not just about us. It is about the lost. And the kingdom advances only through this one thing. It is the lost being saved. That is how the kingdom advances. The kingdom does not advance through our buildings or our power or our influence or our comfort within the church. As significant as that might be, church and the kingdom only advances when the lost is being saved. And so God constantly reminds us of that fact, that there are more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 just persons who need no repentance. Isn't that our final instruction? Matthew 28, the Great Commission, when Jesus speaks to us, in summary, what we ought to do while we wait for His return, He says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the very end of age." What a powerful instruction, summarizing what we're meant to do, but also with this promise that He is with us. He is with us as we live this instruction. So it's very clear that another desire of God for church is that she be sent out into the world, that she would be light in the midst of the darkness, to be used by God to advance His kingdom. We know so clearly Jesus says that we are a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. We are meant to be seen in the world. We're meant to challenge the world with the light in the midst of darkness, to be an alternative to the way the world do things. And so God calls us not just for ourselves, but for the lost. God's desire is to see the lost saved. And sometimes as churches, we grow with other Christians. And that's always exciting. There's a place for that, to create an environment where people can grow closer to God. And it's exciting to see as churches grow, but we need to ask ourselves, are we growing with the lost or are we growing with the saved? Because if we're only growing with the saved, we are simply rearranging sheep from one kraal to another. But God's desire is that we should reach the lost. That's John 3:16, which we know so well. For God so loved the world. God loves the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The motivation of God's desire is love. But love is a choice. God chose to come to the world. God chose to die on the cross. Love is a choice. And as we grow in our love for God, we will also grow in the love for the things that He loves. You know, the more we know God, the more we pursue God, the more we discover and love Him, the more His desires becomes our desires. And one of God's greatest desires is to see the lost saved. That's why He came to the earth. That's why He gave His life, is to see the lost saved. And that too should become more and more as we grow in our relationship with Him, our own desire, is to see His desire, His pleasure come to be. And I use this example so often because when we dated our loved ones, for those who are married, those who are in a relationship, the first thing the gentleman does is he tries to find out, what does she like? What is her desire? Does he love roses or lilies? And if you discover it's roses, guess what you buy? You buy the things she loves, not whether you love proteas or not. My wife doesn't like proteas. I grew up on a protea farm. I love proteas. My wife loves lilies. But I buy it with joy because it's not about me. It's about her. I love sport. My wife loves culture. But the moment we discover that, guess what? We do not go to the rugby game on Saturday. We go to the ballet concert. Because that's what she loves. And the reason we do that is because we love her. And the more we do, the more we act, and the more it becomes part of us. Now my children do ballet and sing, and they do Estetfit. I never knew what Estetfit was until I had kids. That's how uncultured I was. Now I actually enjoy listening to poems and girls playing piano. because I love them. And so their desire has become my desire. I spend my time watching netball. Netball. I even help coaching the girls' hockey team. I mean, because that's where my goals are and I love them. And so the more we love God, the more His desires become our desires. And God's desire is to see the lost saved. We see this in 1 Timothy 2, verse 3 to 4. For this is good and it is pleasing in the sight of our God and Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now I know we are not all evangelists. And God didn't intend us all to have that office and that gift. He's given us different gifts. God designed it that way, but His desire is that we all work together with the same purpose, the same goal in mind. When every part does its share, it not only edifies the body, it causes growth. And growth comes through the lost being saved. When we all start living our gifts uniquely and differently as God has given us, not just in the way He created us, but the spiritual gifts that He has given us. And in the past we've mentioned about these offices and gifts. There are more than 20 of them. But ultimately, in that diversity of it, when we start to function in it, we should have the same goal in mind. The overall arching reality and purpose of church, beyond loving God and each other, is to reach the lost. And so we must have this mind when it's like playing a game, a team sport. You know, we all have individual positions and specialities, but at the end of the day, it's about winning the game. Scoring the goal. And in the kingdom of God, it is seeing the lost saved. Every time a sinner repents, the purpose of Christ's death is fulfilled. Every time a sinner repents, God is glorified. The sinners worship God and say, "You are an awesome God, that You would grant salvation by grace to humanity, even though they don't deserve it." Every time a sinner repents, heaven rejoices and God is glorified. For especially from the angels, because they have no choice. They have no chance of redemption when they sin. They understand the holiness and the judgment of God. But when they see sinners repent by the grace of God because of the sacrifice of Christ, they worship Him. Because You are amazing. And so too, as church, we should be expectant, excited, and pursuing this desire of God to see the lost saved. It's not just the fivefold ministry offices, but all the gifts working together. Whether it's exhortation, leading, serving, giving, mercy, administration, we all have a role to play in sharing the gospel and the love of Christ in this world with the ultimate aim of seeing the lost saved. And you know, the starting point of this is not whether we are ready. The starting point is whether we are willing. Are we willing to be part of God's desire and purpose? Are we willing to consecrate ourselves with our gifts to God for this purpose? It is such a privilege to be saved. The moment we get saved, God's desire for us is not to be alone, but to be part of fellow believers. That we can encourage and edify, but also be part of this mystery and provision that He has given through the church and His Spirit to become part of an inheritance, which is the kingdom, which is the lost being saved. That's the privilege of being saved, is to be part of His family, but His family has a purpose. And that purpose is beyond myself. I was so challenged again a couple of weeks ago when we just looked at Ephesians chapter 5, and I've realized that in the modern church, I have become so important. My salvation, God's love for me, and His purpose for me. But you know what? In the greater schemes of things, Jesus did not die for Andries. He died for the church, of which Andries is a part. Yes, He loves me. But it's about the church. It's a privilege to be part of the church. But it has a purpose. That purpose is to see the lost saved. And so we read of this encouragement that now that we are part of this amazing privilege, we should consecrate ourselves not just for ourselves, but for His desire, for His purpose. And so we read in Romans chapter 12, we know it so well, but the context is so powerful. And I want us to read just from verse 1 to 8. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves and your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Present yourselves, consecrate yourselves as living sacrifices to God. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, listen to the context, to everyone who is among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For we are members of one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, the interdependence. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Sanctify, consecrate yourself to God with the gift that He has given you, but use it. If prophecy, let us prophesy in the proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberty. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And so God says, this is our reasonable response to the great salvation, is to use the gifts for His glory. And so, how do we serve God? By using our gifts towards the same goal and the same purpose. Whether that's the gift of giving, exhortation, administration, prophecy, teaching, we all ought to think towards the same goal. And isn't that, if you are a coach of a team sport, the first thing that you want to establish is, listen guys, we're working together for one purpose. And so as a family, we have this purpose, to see the lost saved. And yes, we are different in our gifts, and we're not all evangelists, but we're all working towards the same goal. It's like netball. It's a funny game. There's only two people that can score. It's so weird. Rugby, anybody can. I mean, even the big guy can score a goal. But in netball, there's only two. The first time I learned the rules, I thought, that's very boring. I mean, I love scoring goals. But here you see again a beautiful picture of a team working together. Even though there's only two that can possibly score, the whole aim is to work together so that we score. And so church is the same. We've been given different gifts, but the aim is still to score. This is a desire and a mindset that God wants to establish in us. And you know what? Evangelism, it doesn't start on the street corner. It starts at home. This mindset of advancing the kingdom, to see the lost saved and grow in the knowledge of God, starts at home. It starts with our spouses and our children. When we love them and we share the gospel with them. And then it continues from there as we love and share and invite our friends and acquaintances. One of the most powerful things we do in our family is to love, to share the gospel, and then to come to church. There's nothing more powerful as a family than coming to church together. Not because it's a good thing or it's a cultural thing, but because of Christ. And we understand the mystery and the power of the unity. When believers come together, there's something mysterious, powerful that happens when Christians gather together. And that's why I bring my children and my wife to church every Sunday. It starts at home. But then it expands to my friends and my acquaintances through love and sharing the gospel, inviting them to church. I'm not an evangelist yet. I'm just sharing the love and the gospel with those around me. That's not being an evangelist. That's just being a Christian. That's just sharing the love and the good news with those around me. And I know, sure, when children comes, our life changes. For some of you might remember, others of you are going through that. I know when we become parents, life changes. And it seems it changes forever, but relax, when the youngest becomes three, it starts to get back to normality, but then it is hockey and netball and rugby and tennis, and you watching games on Friday and Saturday, and you're busy then. And I know you get so busy. And if there's only one thing that you can do when you're a parent, please, I understand you can't attend all the meetings. You can't be at small group and encounters and in Bible school. But if there's just one thing that we need to always attend, it's church. Because there's something powerful that happens when believers come together. It's God's desire that we would not be alone, but come together. Come to church. And if it's the only thing that you can do, then I want to encourage you in this season, this phase in your life where you are so busy with so many things, don't worry about all the meetings that we do. I'll be crucified for that later. Don't worry about all the things that we do. The only thing that you need to do is invite people to church. That's all you need to do. If you're a parent with children, the only thing that I expect of you is to come to church and invite people to church. The amazing thing of parenthood is it opens up a world of new acquaintances and friends. And all of a sudden, as a parent, because you're involved in the school and the sport, you start to meet people that you've never met before. And all of a sudden, you have something in common. We have children together in the same class and in the same sport. And it creates such an amazing opportunity to love people and to share and then to invite them. Invite them to church. Invite them to church. And that's just having a mindset. That's not being an evangelist. That's just having a mindset that everything that we do and the purpose that we come together is to see the lost saved. So I want to really encourage you to do that. The ushers can bring out for us the elements of communion. The Word of God encourages us that even though we don't all have the same gift, even in God's desire and passion, some will sow seed, others will water the seed, and another will harvest the seed. But may we develop this mindset, doesn't matter what phase of life we are, that we'll always be looking out for the opportunities to love people and to share the gospel. And so bring people closer to God in this an amazing mystery of church, where we come together to be united with Christ in a very powerful way. So I want to encourage you, whatever we do, let's do it together, but with this one thing in mind. And when we are at church, if this is the only meeting you can make, if the only thing in the closest to this is small group, if you can do only two, I would say go to small group also. But if church is the only meeting that you can make, let's come together with this one mindset. It is all about Jesus. First and foremost, we are here because He loves us and we love Him. Secondly, we are coming together because our brothers and sisters are here and He loves them. Therefore, we love each other. Then come with this mindset that we are not just here for each other, we are also here for the lost. We're also for the year for those who are outside. So let us be mindful of that. Let us, when we come together, not just look for our own friends, but let us look for those who are here for the first time, those who are on the fringes, those we see still needs to come into this unity of life within Christ. And I want to commend this church. There's been so many testimonies of people that experience love and joy when they come to church. I want to thank you for that. But I want to encourage us that we will not stop loving, caring, and looking out for those we do not know. Because ultimately, church is not just about those we know. It's about those that still needs to come in. Is it possible for us to have a church that really reflects God's heart, that we will be passionate and excited to see the lost saved, to see the lost come in, that everything that we do together have this underlying purpose and mission, is to see more of the world come in to His kingdom. So when we come together, let's have this mindset. I'm not just here for myself. I'm not just here for myself. I am also here for the kingdom. That goes to anything. And the most powerful thing is, even when we just gather together with that mindset, it changes the atmosphere. When we are here not just for ourselves, but we're here for His kingdom, it changes the atmosphere. It changes the way we pray. It changes the way we see and we look and we respond and react to the people around us. So I want to really trust that God will come and instill in us this mindset that when we come together, it's not just about me. It's also about the kingdom. Who can I connect with through love, drawing them closer to God? I want to end over these two scriptures that summarize it so beautiful. And I really want to commend the church for growing in this. In 1 John 4, we read, "No one has ever seen God at any time. But if we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us." Let us continue to grow in loving not just those we know, but those we do not know, as we draw them in, as it further continues. And we know and we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. It's the most powerful thing that we have, the love of God. The love of God for us, but also the love of God for each other. And when we start to love like this, God is manifested through us. But let's have this mindset. It's not just for me. It's for him and his kingdom, his purpose. That little saying there, known for love, may it be evident in everything that we do. Known for love. Loving God, loving each other. Let us draw people in because of that. Yes, we are all growing, but this is where we're growing towards. Closer to his heart and his purpose, and seeing the harvest come in. Like I said earlier, we are all part of this body, and it's a privilege to be part of the body of Christ. But this body, this church, it has a purpose. And that purpose is to see the lost saved, so that God may be glorified. His desire fulfilled in and through us. And I want us this morning just to reflect on that question, not whether we are ready, but whether we are willing to step into the purpose of God to see the lost saved in everything that we do. So I want to give you an opportunity while we reflect before we partake of communion together, and please wait for each other, just to reflect on God's word. His desire for church, not just to love each other and edify each other, but to cause growth through the lost being saved. Will we reflect for a moment whether we are willing to pursue that purpose when we come together, when we're at home, when we're at work, when we're at play, and especially when we're together? Can we do that for a moment? I'm just going to give you some time, just where you're at, in your own seat. Just spend some time with the Lord. Yes, Father, we thank you that we can be here this morning and just be reminded of your love towards us. That you loved us so much, you were willing to give your Son, and Lord, you were willing to die. But not just die, you were willing to become sin. Our sin. Not just my sin, but the sin of the world. Because you love the world so much, you took upon yourself all our sin and faced the wrath of God so that we may be free. God, we thank you that the motivation was love and the purpose was to seek and save the lost. Lord, we know that to this very day, it's still your desire, your passion, and your purpose. God, I pray this morning that as we partake of the sacrifice that set us free, we will also, as we receive the benefits of this purpose, Lord, that we will partake not just in the benefits, but in the purpose itself, is to see the lost saved. And God, so we thank you for the sacrifice, and we take hold of it as we eat together, in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for your blood that was shed for us, that not only sets us free, but seals us for eternity. In the presence of the Almighty God, we are now sons and daughters. We have become co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we might also be glorified together. God, I pray that we will take up your passion and run with it, that we may be glorified with you in it. In Jesus' name, let us drink together. God is not looking for perfect people. God is looking for willing people. When Jesus saw the crowd and he had compassion over them because they had nothing to eat, he turned to his disciples and said, "How are we going to feed them?" And they said, "Well, we don't have the means." But there was one little boy that came to the Lord with 2 fish and 5 loaves. It wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. But he had faith and he was willing to give it to the Lord. Say, "Lord, this is all I have. It's not enough. But you can have it all." And God took that and multiplied and fed more than 5,000. And there was leftovers. So God is looking to us this morning, not for how many fish, but whether we are willing to give him some. We've been speaking about the different gifts God has given us. And we want to start functioning in those gifts. And so at the coffee table, you'll find there's some forms, and there's five areas. I think I even have it there. I think there's five. We want to start mobilizing the different gifts, because God's desire for church is that we function together, not just come together, but function together. And so there's four areas to start off with. It's just to start. And if you feel drawn to those areas, please write down your name on those lists. We want to meet together, and we want to pray together, plan together, and then start to function together as God desires us to be. They are simple. They are outreach, reaching the lost out there. There's the pastoral, taking care of people. Then there's community, that's showing mercy through community work, which is different to outreach. And then there's the church, those of a heart to serve within the church, for the church. So those are the four areas, and I want you to consider that, whether that's perhaps not a place to start to discover your own gifts. If you don't know your gift, you don't know your passion, the best way to discover it is just to start somewhere. And the amazing thing is, you may discover something that you have within you that you've never known before. And the only way you're going to do that is when you start to step out in faith and say, God, here I am, use me, I'm willing. Bring your two fish and your five loaves, get involved. Let's together start functioning in our gifts, so that God's desire may be accomplished in us, that we may become the church, not that Andres wants or Shofar wants or anybody wants, but who God wants us to be. That's where we're going. Can we do that together? Is it possible? Okay. I'm going to close in prayer, and then we're going to fellowship together. And please remember, if there's one of those four areas that you want to start in, please write down your name. We'd love to meet with you. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you've come to save us, to set us free, and to give us life. Lord, thank you. Even today, Lord, we are reminded of your faithfulness as the rain falls, Lord, and waters the earth, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your word that comes to do the same in us. God, I pray that your word will speak to us, will become alive in us, Lord, as we accept it, receive it, Lord, that it may accomplish its purpose in us, to change us, to become more like you. God, I pray that your passion will become our passion. And Lord, so this morning, God, as we hear, if there are people in this church that have need, whether it's financial or physical, or maybe you need to give your life to God, maybe you need to surrender to Him, you need to respond to this love of a Father that has life in abundance for you. If that is you this morning, with a physical or a financial or a spiritual need, I would love to pray with you. We have counselors. We want to invite you to come today and receive from Him. But God, I want to thank each and every person here, Lord. And as we consider your desire for us together, Lord, may we live it so that you may be glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.